So it's just been an amazing experience, and I'm really excited to be able to share some of that with you today. One of the things that we learned early on, I thought this was really, really important, is, you know, as I come back from, you know, the places where Jesus walked and talked, I don't have any special knowledge. I don't have any secret knowledge. I'm not on a different plane because I was there, and you think, boy, I'm never going to be able to, like, grow in my Christian life the way Pastor Greg is able to grow now because he's been to the land of Israel. The Bible makes it very clear. We've been given all that we need that pertains to life and godliness, everything. And so you can grow and you can thrive and you can be all that God wants you to be as you make your walk and as you're following Jesus. It's a great place. It's a wonderful place to visit. I hope to go back again. I hope to lead a group back there one day. But don't ever think in any way that because you've not been to the land that in some way you're kind of second class, not in any stretch, all right? So we've all got that ability to continue that walk with the Lord. An incredible trip. Not going to do it justice here. The 9 o'clock service listened faster than the Saturday night service, so I'm asking you to listen even faster than the 9 o'clock service, okay? It's not that I'm talking long, it's you're not listening fast enough, okay? So I need you to listen really fast this morning as I unpack all this, because it's way too much information, but I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement as we share it together. So there's the land. Hit the next slide. Oh, Jason's back there today. Hey, Jason. All right, so I'll kind of keep walking you through it. So there's the land of Israel. Next slide. We're going to go through these quick. So there's the land of Israel. Check that out. Maybe you didn't realize how small it actually was. And so we were able to see a lot of pretty much every part of the land in just a few days. It's interesting. There are a lot of comparisons with California climate-wise. There's a lot of similarities. California has 14 microclimates. You can go to different parts of the state of California and experience different climates. The land of Israel is about the size of New Jersey, has 24 microclimates. It's crazy. I mean, just about anything you want to do in the land of Israel, you can do. And it's not even a day's drive. It's literally like just over the hill, and you're in a different climate. It's amazing. Hit the next one. Yes. So for 10 days, I didn't have my wife, I didn't have my family, no TV, no Star Wars, you know, nothing like that, no bacon. And we ate kosher, you know, we ate kosher the entire time, which I didn't even know what kosher was except the pickle, you know, like that's all I knew of kosher, you know, is kosher dill pickle. And so about the second day we were there, it's like, oh, okay, like everything here is kosher. One of the fascinating things about kosher is that, and there's lots about it, but one of the fascinating things was there's never any combination of meat and dairy products. And so we go to breakfast, and there'd be butter for the bread, and there'd be cheese and all this amazing stuff, but there'd be no meat. And then you go for dinner, and there'd be all kinds of meat. I mean, everything you can imagine, no butter, no cheese, anywhere. And so my first meal back, Carl's Jr. Don't judge me. Don't judge me until you've walked in my shoes, okay? So 10 days, ate kosher. That was awesome. All right. So I went with a group called GTI Tours. They're based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Rich Ferreira is the general manager, and he used to be the director at Hume Lake Christian Camp. So some of you might be familiar with Hume. So a lot of ties to Southern California. And he described this trip early on as like taking a drink from a fire hose. And here it is. That's what it was like. And that's what it was like after the third. I was there 10 days. That's how we felt after 3 days. It was just so much information because it was a familiarization tour. So they basically showed us everything that there was to see. And we were just going 5 in the morning to about 9 in the evening every single day for 10 days. It was fascinating, but really, really a blessing. Genesis chapter 12 in your Bibles. And if you have one of these adventure Bibles, it's page number 9. I'm using one because I haven't found mine yet. My coat is in Turkey. I left my coat in Turkey, so I lost my coat. And I'm still looking for my Bible. So Genesis 12, the first 4 verses. Would you stand together? That's what we do here. Would you stand? We're going to read just these 4 verses together as we introduce this time of reflection. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these moments we have together today to just reflect back on this trip and this opportunity and the lessons that were learned. Thank you, Lord, for your call upon Abraham. Thank you for your call upon this people and upon this land from whom came the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And we celebrate Jesus today, and we're so grateful for your hand of blessing upon your people, and ask that it would continue to be so, and that we would continue to bless them as well. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning. We ask your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. So this morning's going to be a little bit of a multimedia, you know, kind of a thing. What we're going to start out with is a video that I put together, kind of the whole trip in 4 minutes. And then the pictures are going to go pretty fast. And so you might, what was that? And then we'll kind of back up and we'll kind of go through the pictures, and I'll share as quickly as I possibly can some of the highlights of the trip. And then we'll end with some of the lessons, some of the takeaways. You know, they're forever. And I have a feeling it'll probably just sprinkle throughout my teaching, probably throughout the remainder of my ministry. But hope it'll be a blessing and help. So let's get started with video number one, the recap video. Check it out. The stage was shaking when I came on. That was awesome.
Days of yesterday.
So that was the whole trip in 4 minutes. The first cut of that video, the song is 4 minutes long. So, you know, you're trying to do it based on the song if you've done those videos for. First cut was 10 minutes long. So I was like, okay, I got to pare that down just a little bit. So enjoyed putting that video together. And I also enjoyed the excuse to finally be able to use a song from Juliana Zobrist, who is the wife of Ben Zobrist, World Series MVP of the 2016 World Champion Chicago Cubs. Just saying. So thank you, Juliana. I love that song. It's one of my favorites. So that was Ben's walk-up song last year. So fun. All right, next slide. So we're going to just go through these pretty quick. That was my flight. The worst part of the trip, L.A. to Istanbul in one flight. Worst part, 13 hours in a plane. Unnatural. It's just not natural. So anyway, flying into Tel Aviv, pretty cool at night. Next one. That was our bus, so there were 59 of us, and so, like I said, it was a pastor's group, so it was pastors, youth pastors, Christian leaders, California, Texas, New Mexico, Michigan, all over the place. Really amazing, very diverse group of people. It was very, very cool. So that was our bus. Like I said, breakfast, there was always fish, lots of stuff for breakfast. You can see all the cheese there, you know, that was always out, but just for breakfast, not in the evening. Next. This was our first day, so it's kind of an introduction. This was an old synagogue, so the very first day was like, wow, we're sitting in a synagogue, you know, from the first century. That was very, very cool. Next, this is not the tomb, but this is a tomb that would have been like the tomb that Jesus was buried in, and so that was a really fascinating. We'd learned a lot about Jewish, you know, burial rites and things of that nature, you know, why they stack stones on their burial places and things of that nature. Really, really fascinating. Next, we did some teaching. This is the home of Samson, the Judge Samson. And so we did some teaching there. And again, it was really fascinating. It was a study tour. It wasn't a sightseeing tour. It was a study tour. So we had study guides. We had journals. We did teaching everywhere that we went. And so it was really fascinating to, like, open the scriptures and to read and to study about things that were happening right where we were sitting. So truly fascinating. So this was Samson. Next picture is this us going down into a cistern. Cistern is a place where they would collect water. You know, that's where the water storage would be. And so the next one is this being in the cistern. And we did some teaching in the empty cistern from Jeremiah chapter 2, where he talks about how, you know, a life apart from God is like an empty cistern, and just how unfulfilled it is, and just how off it would be to be in. And we're in this empty cistern, hearing this teaching about an empty cistern. Very, very cool. Next. This is where we made the trek to the place where David defeated Goliath. So this is kind of the overlook. The next one gives you a better view of that. So So here is where the children of Israel would have been, and then over on this side is where the Philistines would have been, and then the valley here in the middle is where David and Goliath would have fought. So to actually be in the place where David fought Goliath, pretty amazing. So next picture is me there, and then the next picture is, there's only one, so it has to be the one, there's only one creek that goes through that area, and so this has to be the place where David went to gather the five stones, the five smooth stones. So they gave us the opportunity to go down there and actually collect five stones. They said we can only take five. They were checking us on the bus, and they said, if you find the actual one, we had to leave it there. But none of us found the actual one. I brought with me, so we got some giveaways today, and so I brought back five, and so two are staying with our family, but we gave away one last night, one at 9 o'clock, and we're giving one away here at the 11 o'clock service. And I used to be a children's pastor, so the way I used to do this as a children's pastor is I would pick a special seat. And so it's already kind of predetermined and pre-designated, like who's in that special seat. So you're already either a winner or not. So my apologies if you aren't in the special seat. But the very first one, one of the stones, one of the smooth stones, it's in this section. It's the ninth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's Nicole. Oh, gosh. Wow. Whew. Yeah. This is victory. This is victory. God bless you. Goodness. Wow. Thank you. God bless you. Whew. All right. Chills. Amazing. All right. I was going to do like some kind of like certificate of authenticity for these things. You just got to trust me. I was there, okay? Like there's nothing I can do. Okay. All right, moving on. Next. Oh, caverns. A lot of underground stuff. You know, the limestone is very soft, and that's a majority of what you find in most parts of Israel. And so there are lots of caves and caverns. A lot of underground living, which I didn't ever really know. But once you're there and you see the land, there's not a lot of land. And so a lot of people didn't take the time to like build a structure on top, because that would take away land for grazing or farming. So they would build caves. So a lot of people lived underground, and then they would farm the land above. So this is a kind of a quarry's place where they would take stuff out to. We did some singing. It's amazing. So that's cavern. Next. This was just a village. This was one of our worst weather days. Flash floods. Really rough that day. Next. Yeah, next. There's my camel. Number 17. I rode that camel, and you just got to trust me. I was on it. I don't have the picture to prove it, but believe me. Believe me. I was on that camel, all right? With another guy, too. It was two of us on the camel at the same time. I was on the back, and yeah, that poor camel. That was bad. All right, next. The Dead Sea. So the Dead Sea was fun. They don't call it the Dead Sea. They call it the Salt Sea. And if you're familiar with it at all, it has this super high concentration of salt and other minerals. So you see all kinds of, what kind of looks like snow around the edge, and it's all salt. Seawater, if you've ever been, Fort Bragg or wherever, by the sea, 3% concentration of salt, 3%. So you get water in your mouth and like, ooh, salty, it's bad. Dead Sea, 34% concentration of salt. It is the nasty, they're like, don't drink the water. It will kill you. Don't do it. But because it has that high mineral content, nothing will sink in the Dead Sea. Everything floats. You cannot sink anything. And I thought, I can do it. I can do it. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be the only person. So next slide. So I floated. I floated in the Dead Sea. So it really is true. Nothing sinks in the Dead Sea. That was super fun. All right, next. Here's my family. So the way they did it was they divided us into family groups. So we didn't count like 1 to 59. So it was different groups that they put together. And so there's me, and then here's Glenn. He was my roommate. He's from Kansas. Alan and Emery, they were pastors from Hawaii. So when I landed in Los Angeles, they still had another... Oh, man, bad. I felt so bad for these guys. This is Amanda, who is a middle school pastor at a Presbyterian church in Carmel. And then this is Lana, who is a office manager at a multi-site church in Texas. And so they put our families together, and they randomly assigned us names, books of the Bible, either Pentateuch books or gospel books. And guess what book I got chosen? Exodus. Couldn't believe it. They're like, Exodus. I'm like, are you serious? So it was really easy for me to remember because we've been in Exodus for like half a year here at the church. Over half a year, so it's been amazing. So it would be on the bus, you know, is Genesis here, is Exodus here, so that was super fun. Great, great friends, met a lot of great people. Next, Masada. Masada, a lot I could say about Masada. There are only two ways to get up Masada. There's an hour hike to get up to the top, or there's the gondola. And you can see what I chopped it for. I took the gondola. But let me say, to my credit, there are only two things I didn't do. I didn't hike up Masada, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to do that. And I did not go all the way down to the lowest tunnels, Hezekiah's tunnels, underneath the city of Jerusalem, which is how David got in to conquer the city. Like, the water still goes up to your legs down there, and it's like super cramped, and I was like, no, I'm going to pass. So I did go through the Canaanite tunnel, which is like above Hezekiah's tunnel. So I was above them, but it wasn't quite as cramped and whatnot. So we went to the top of Masada. Next picture, that's me at the top. The next picture is a flag that's there. And Masada, to the Jewish people, it's not apples and apples, but it has that same kind of ground zero feel where it's a very sacred place. Because if you know the history of Masada, it was a place where people chose death over slavery. And there was mass suicide. They were not going to be taken by the Romans. And 960 people died of their own hands on the top of Masada because they preferred that. Women, children, men, they drew lots for who was going to be the people and who was going to be the last one to fall on their sword. And they found the lots with those names. It's crazy to think about, but it goes so much to the heart of the Jewish people. They do not want to be ruled. They do not want to be lorded over. And we see that obviously in the Gospels with their relationship with their Roman, you know, occupiers. And they still bring their military cadets, you know, up to the top of Masada to this very moment. And it's this death before slavery kind of notion. So really powerful to be up there. Next. Dead Sea Scrolls. We didn't spend a lot of time here because we just didn't have a lot of time with the sun going down, but the Dead Sea Scrolls found in 1946, where they found hundreds of manuscripts that basically confirmed that the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures that we've been reading for years, were verified. They're virtually the same, and so it was a great archaeological discovery, and we were able to spend some time there. Next. You can't really see it, but there's a rainbow, so it's kind of cool to, you know, see a rainbow in Israel. Next, it only rained one day the entire month of December. I mean, they really, it's drought. There's such an issue with water there. This was a village. So one of the great things about this trip was not just what we saw, but the sequence in which we saw it. So they were very deliberate in, we started in the desert, and then we made our way to the villages, and then we got to the Sea of Galilee, and then we saw some cities, and then we went to Jerusalem. So it was very sequential how they took us through it. And so now we kind of enter a phase where we're starting to see some villages, some synagogues, some housing, things of that nature from the first century. Next. This is a synagogue. That's the Moses seat in the synagogue. So just seemed like the thing to do, to sit in the Moses seat. Next. This was our teaching at the Sea of Galilee, which was incredibly moving. The next picture is the Sea of Galilee. Complete the water, it's completely pristine. It's the most beautiful water you've ever seen. And it was at the Sea of Galilee that I had definitely my first, but certainly as I look back on the entire trip, one of the most emotional moments because John 21 text is so meaningful to me of Jesus and Peter. So I want to show that video for you right now. Check it out.
So, doing a video of this, there's no
amen. So yeah, that was a really special, certainly a really special moment at the Sea of Galilee. Oh, and I've got we have another prize to give away. So here is some water from the Sea of Galilee, and I actually had to, I did it in the middle of the night. I went down, we stayed in a kibbutz right off the Sea of Galilee. And I went down and I filled up a bottle. It was a Pepsi bottle. I don't know if that was sacrilegious or not, but I filled up my Pepsi bottle with water. I got back to my room, and I looked at it, and it's so clear. I was like, this is tap water. Like, no one's even going to believe this is from the Sea of Galilee. So I went back down there and got some sand, you know, to put some sand in it just to make it look a little bit more authentic. Can you hit one of the lights for me, the back lights? Yeah, thank you. And so this one, so the water from the Sea of Galilee, that's going to, it's the middle left, this section, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 2, Pat McDaniels. Pat, come on up. Here you go. Congratulations. Some water from the Sea of Galilee. God bless you. Absolutely. All right. Okay, next slide. Okay, so now we transition to Capernaum, which was the hometown of Jesus. Lots of things the scripture says about what Jesus did in Capernaum, so here's more teaching there. Next slide. This is the synagogue. So this is the synagogue where Jesus would have taught when he was home. Fascinating. Next slide. Okay, we'll go back. Yeah, so Jesus taught in the synagogue here. This is where Jesus would have healed Peter's mother-in-law. There were some ruins that were there. And there's a big church. There's a big church that they've built on top of the house they believe was Peter's house in Capernaum. And the church, I kid you not, looks like the Millennium Falcon from the air. And so Rich, who was leading the tour, he's like, hey, I did this video for a guy, you know, last trip out here. And he showed me the video and he's like, you know, would you like to do it? I've been following your Facebook. I know you're a huge Star Wars, you know, geek. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, let's do it. So it's only 30 seconds. Here it is.
Hey, everybody. It's Pastor Greg, and we're having a great time here in Capernaum.
So, little known fact.
All right. So, gosh. All right. I'll just let that speak for itself. Okay. Moving on. Next slide. We had some fun with that. All right. So we took a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. So we had an Army veteran on our trip, and so he raised the Stars and Stripes. Very, very cool moment. Next one. These are just Sea of Galilee. Yes, on the boat ride. Go ahead. Next one. Next one. Okay. So this is then the overlook of the Sea of Galilee. And yes, I hiked that. So I climbed. I did do some climbing. So here's obviously the Sea of Galilee. The majority, you know, Jesus' earthly ministry, 3 years, and the majority of his ministry was around the Sea of Galilee. So we stayed about over in this section, and we visited all these little places, Capernaum's kind of over here, and we ended one day by climbing up here and the overlook over the Sea of Galilee. It was beautiful. It was just amazing. So, all right, next one. This was great. This was a village that they had that's been built that kind of recreates first century life. And so there was an olive press and all sorts of little things. This is just a couple of pictures of making bread. So we made bread as they would have made it in the first century. We're all in costumes, and we just had a great experience there. So, you know, in a house, the way houses would have been and all that. So that was cool. Next. This one, we visited the Golan Heights. That was a fascinating thing. So now we're north of Sea of Galilee. We're in the northern part. And you can see here, you know, the different signposts. Here's Damascus, 60 kilometers. Okay, that's Syria. So the next picture is me, and that's Syria right there. And we could actually hear artillery fire from where we were. Couldn't see it, but we could hear it. And the civil war that is just, and it was so interesting to hear our tour guide talk about some of the modern, you know, political things that are happening, and the questions of, you know, is Israel safe and is Israel secure, and, you know, how much danger do you feel? And our tour guide said that Israel has actually never been safer. You know, it's a very safe and secure time because all of Israel's enemies are fighting each other. They're not paying any attention to Israel. And so the concern is how the civil war is all going to come out, and then what will happen, you know, to the land. But we spent a great deal of time in the Golan Heights. Hit the next slide. UN outpost right there, United Nations. They refer to it as the United Nothing, the UN. And they assured us that that was not some disparaging thing. It's just they don't really do anything. You know, they're just kind of there to observe and kind of be a buffer. But that was the outpost that was at the top of the Golan Heights. Next one. This is a bunker. So there's a bunker right there. Next slide. That's the inside of the bunker. And there's a military installation really close by, and they said once or twice a year they'll do a drill to get this bunker ready to go and activated communication supplies in 4 hours. They can do it in 4 hours because of all the history that the Israeli people have with sneak attack and things of that nature. So that was pretty fascinating to be in a Israeli bunker that you know, has been used and could be used in the future. Next. That's Ronan, our tour guide. Cannot say enough. Knows the Bible better than anyone I've ever met in my life. And he just knows the scriptures inside and out. He was fabulous. Next. This is a hike up to a Beit Shean, which is kind of the Jewish, would have been the Jewish village at one time. And then as we crested over the top, you can see the next slide, this Roman city, Sitopolis. And so there's the Decapolis, which is, you know, a grouping of 10 Roman cities in that whole region of the world. And this, some they don't really know which is the capital, but they presume this may have been the capital. And it was just fascinating to be, you can see the, you know, it was destroyed by an earthquake, and so there's lots of remnants of the earthquake there. Obviously, they've reconstructed part of it, you know, for tourism and other archaeological discovery. Super fascinating. We were there for several hours. Next slide is just some teaching and some understanding of what's going on. Learned some really fascinating things about indoor plumbing that if you'd like to hear sometime. Don't really have time to get into that right now, but being a seat warmer was a job. That's all I'm going to say. And let your imagination do the rest, okay? Next slide. Okay, this is really cool. So I get a text from Kayla, my daughter, who's at San Diego Christian College. She says, hey, I was talking to Kaylee, her roommate at San Diego Christian College, and we were talking. I was like, yeah, my dad's in Israel. She goes, oh, my pastor's in Israel too. And so my Kayla texts me like, hey, are Zach and Casey with you? And I'm like, yeah, and here they are. So, like, what are the odds that, like, of all the tours happening in Israel at the one time, that Kayla and her roommate, anyway, that was bizarre. So that was super fun. Next slide. That's Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel. Don't know how good a likeness it is, but that's the statue that's there to kind of remember that. And we had a great time on top of Mount Carmel where God had a great victory. Next slide. This is an amphitheater, a Roman theater. Super cool. The acoustics and all they say about that is really fascinating. You can see the Mediterranean Sea there in the background. So we're getting closer to the sea now. Next one is Herod's Palace on the Sea. Herod, a bit of a megalomaniac. He had palaces all over the country, Herod the Great. And this was one of his palaces on the sea that apparently he spent a lot of time in. And Herod was a piece of work, man. We learned a lot about Herod while we were there. Next slide is just me with the Mediterranean Sea behind me. Next slide. So now we make it to Jerusalem. And so now we're at the Temple Mount. So this is the southern wall of the Temple Mount, and this is the western wall of the Temple Mount. And the Temple Mount is just a huge structure that they put on top of the highest point in order to build the temple that we know. Now, of course, there's a Muslim mosque and the Dome of the Rock, which I think is the next picture. Yes, the Dome of the Rock. So we spent a lot of time around the Dome of the Rock. Controlled by Muslims, great deal of security you've got to go through to get to the Temple Mount and to spend some time there. Lots of security, lots of people with radios and earpieces, and they're listening for any kind of disparagement toward Islam or the Prophet Muhammad, because if you do any of that, out you go. So they really have to mind how they're talking about certain things when they're on the Temple Mount, particularly around the Dome of the Rock. Next slide. Western Wall. So this is the place where people come to pray. They come to this place because this, when you look at, I should have a slide for this, but I don't, but it's the place that would be the closest place to the Holy of Holies in the temple. So that's why they come to this particular part of the wall. The Western Wall is huge, but they come to this part of the Western Wall because it was the closest to where the temple would have been. Next slide. That's us praying. You have to have a kippah, so this was mine. You can't approach without having your head covered, so they've got a huge, you know, basket that you can take one. And then you can see all the prayers in the cracks. You know, all the prayers are there, and then here's a close-up picture of that. And I wrote out a prayer. Some of you may have seen that on Facebook. I wrote out a prayer for my family and for this church, and I placed it in the wall. And one of the things that we learned is that every 3 months, they do a sweep of the entire wall. They remove all the prayers, but they don't destroy them. They bury them in the Mount of Olives. So every prayer that's ever been placed in the wall is buried in the Mount of Olives because those are sacred. So that was interesting. Next. Oh, you know what? I have a video. Yeah, I've got like a 30-second video, the Western Wall video, Jason. Okay. Remember that picture. We're going to get back to it in just a couple minutes. Okay, next slide. Back to the slides. That's the Western Wall again. Herodian. So this is a Roman outpost. Herod built it, named it after himself. So the Herodian. The next picture, it was what was overlooking Bethlehem. And so that's Bethlehem there in the background. And so Herodian would have been the place where the Roman soldiers, centurions, would have come to slaughter the children in Bethlehem. So we did a lot of teaching about Bethlehem there on the top of the Herodian. Next slide. Johnny's Souvenir Shop, the Palestinian Christian family that we visited that helps GTI Tours. We did a lot of shopping there. Go to the next one, just the inside. Next one. The Stars and Bucks Cafe. So there's no Starbucks in Israel. There's no Starbucks in the Palestinian Authority. So no Starbucks anywhere, which, you know, was driving some of the folks a little bit crazy. But there is Stars and Bucks, which was kind of fun. I didn't see a lot of American. We saw some Kentucky Fried Chicken and a couple places. Lots of McDonald's, which they affectionately refer to as the American Embassy. They're like, there's the American Embassy. You're fighting about where the American Embassy should be. It's right there. It's the McDonald's. Interesting thing about the McDonald's is there are kosher McDonald's and there are non-kosher McDonald's. And the difference is cheeseburgers, correct, yes. Yeah. So can you imagine going into a McDonald's and not ordering a cheeseburger? What's the point? So Stars and Bucks. Next one. So this is the Church of the Nativity. This is George. We had to swap our guide. The Palestinian Authority won't allow Israeli tour guides into the Palestinian Authority. So we had to get a Palestinian guide to take us into the Palestinian Authority. So this is the Church of the Nativity. Next slide. Very ornate, very enshrined. The next slide. This is the place where they believe Jesus was actually born, on this spot. And I'll just be honest, this one and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre just didn't do much for me. There's just so much enshrined ornamental nature to it. It was really hard to get a real sense of it, but they believe this is the place. So we were able to visit it. Next slide. Nativity Square. So this is outside the Church of the Nativity. There's a huge nativity scene here, Christmas tree. And the thing I want to say at this point about our time in the Palestinian Authority is it was amazing, because obviously when we're in Israel, you know, there's no references to Jesus anywhere, right? Like, they're still waiting for the Messiah. We believe the Messiah has already come. They're still waiting for the Messiah. And the Palestinian Authority, there are references to Jesus everywhere. And it was Christmas season, so Christmas trees and even like Santa Clauses. I mean, just all this stuff with Christmas. And it was just a sobering reminder. And catch this, okay? Catch this. We as, you know, North American, evangelical, you know, patriotic American citizens, you know, we may see ourselves as being politically aligned with the nation of Israel and their interest and their safety and their security and all those things. Nothing wrong with that, okay? But let me tell you something. There are a lot of Palestinian Christians. And we've got to be careful that, and one of the things that I walked away from was we kind of have this attitude in America, certainly in evangelicalism, you know, Israel good, Palestinians bad. Are there bad Palestinians? Yeah. Is the government incredibly corrupt and terrorist in nature? Yeah. But you know what? We're going to be spending heaven, eternity, with a lot of Palestinian brothers and sisters in Christ. So be careful about that. Be careful about just kind of painting a broad brush because we may have a political difference with those that are representing. The reality is they get along really, really well. There's not like this huge, I mean, there's fringes like there is in every, you know, kind of setting. But for the most part, they're like, yeah, like we know each other. You know, we live obviously in super close proximity. Look at how much space we're talking about. So be careful about the political, spiritual dynamic that's going on there. That's all I'll say about that. Okay. All right, moving on. Took this picture of the Mount of Olives because just how cool is it to have a picture of the Mount of Olives that way? I mean, that was just really, you know, it's like Sacramento, Los Angeles, Redding, you know, Mount of Olives. That was cool. Next one, this is the city of David. You could spend a lot of time. So this would have been where one of his palaces would have been. You can see kind of there's a valley and then you can see kind of the overlook. So like this is, you know, David would have had a palace here. This is where he would have seen Bathsheba. You know, the Bible talks about he's looking out and he sees Bathsheba on the roof. Well, look, we're standing there. We can see all sorts of things on roofs right across the way. So to be there, again, really brought it to life. Really interesting. Next one, Israel Museum, had a great time there, Dead Sea Scrolls, and then they had this huge model of Jerusalem, like 22,000 square feet, amazing. You can see the Temple Mount here in the temple. So this is as it would have been in the first century. We were only here about an hour. I could have spent the whole day here. It was fascinating. So here's the big Temple Mounts. Here's that south wall. Here's that western wall. So here's the temple. So that would have been the Holy of Holies. So then here's the place where that western wall is, the Wailing Wall that people pray. So it's the closest place to where the Holy of Holies would have been. And, of course, now the Dome of the Rock is there. So that was really fascinating. Next slide. Jerusalem bagels. We had lunch out on the lawn of the Knesset. That was fun with our Exodus family. Next one. Holocaust Museum. You know, I'm pretty learned. I'm a student of history. You know, I didn't necessarily learn anything new, but I was incredibly impacted by walking through the Holocaust Museum. You can't take any pictures. You can't do any video when you're there. But I did find a picture on Google of something that was inside, so someone didn't follow the rules. Check out this quote from this German pastor. It says, "They came for the communists, and I did not object, for I was not a communist. They came for the socialists, and I did not object, for I was not a socialist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not object, for I was not a Jew. When they came for me, there was no one left to object." Very sobering. Let's be careful about marginalization, okay? All right. Holocaust Museum, Yad Vashem, incredible experience. Next slide. So this is, again, the Temple Mount. That's that southern wall, so the Wailing Wall would be on the other side. Some great teaching about the Eastern Gate and stuff happening there. So we're on the Mount of Olives looking over. Next slide. This is some teaching on the Mount of Olives. Super fun. Next slide. This is a guy. So he was one of the vendors that was at the top of the Mount of Olives. We took a little time to buy some stuff from the vendors. And you could take his picture for $1. $1. So I took his picture and I gave him his $1. And he was trying to get people to ride his donkey, because that was $5 to take a ride on the donkey. And he kept assuring us it was okay to ride the donkey because the donkey was not Muslim. It was just hilarious. Like, it's okay, not Muslim, he's not Muslim. So, like, that would make it okay to ride. So he was a great salesman. It was awesome. So anyway, that was him. Next slide. This is the path of the triumphal entry. Super cool. All right, path of the triumphal entry. You can see Jerusalem there. So this would have been the path that, you know, the entourage would have been coming in, and Jerusalem's like, what is going on? Jesus is coming. That was awesome. Next slide. Garden of Gethsemane, pretty much as it would have been in the first century. Let's show that video. Garden of Gethsemane. Last one.
So, cool.
That was really amazing to be in that place. Okay, we're almost done. Couple more. Next slide. Via Dolorosa. Any fans of the Sandy Patty song? You know, Via Dolorosa all day, man. All in my head the whole day. Next slide. That's walking us to Via Dolorosa. Next slide. Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Great story about this ladder. If you want to ask me about that later, super fascinating. Inside again. Kind of gawky and just it didn't do much for me emotionally, but this is the place. They say, next slide, they gave us pizza for lunch our last day, so that was kind of fun. Everybody was excited to see pizza again. Next slide. So this is Kevin Compolian, who is the president of the Evangelical Free Church of America, of which we are a part. And so we went back to the Western Wall on Shabbat, Sabbath, you know, Friday evening, so we could kind of experience what it's like, you know, at that time. And there are thousands and thousands of people there. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people there. And I'm walking in, you know, getting ready to go up to security, and I'm like, Kevin? And he's like, Greg? And like randomly run into the president of the EFCA, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? What are you? I'm here with some denominational. I'm like, what in the world, you know? So anyway, pretty crazy. So he sends his greetings to Adventure Church, okay? So that's Kevin. Next slide. So that's the wall in Shabbat. And do the next slide because you can see the comparisons. So that's when we were there earlier in the week, and that's what it looks like in Shabbat. There are just thousands, and there's dancing, and there's singing, and there's praying, and there's scripture, and no phones, no cameras, no video. So it was kind of one of these things that I was walking out on the arch. It was kind of like, doop, you know. So that's why it's a little blurry, you know. I was like, I gotta capture this. This is amazing. So that was really something. And we went down in the middle of it. We were right in there, man. People were dancing and jumping, and man, the joy, you know, the joy. It was crazy. All right, next slide. Oh, and then these are all just pictures of the farewell dinner. So just flip through these quick. Yeah, go, yeah. These are just great friends, great people that I met. The walk back and then the plane trip back. Great. All right, Jeff, band, you guys go ahead and come on up. Next one. Okay, there we go. All right, so let me give you a couple things, then we're going to go. Okay, number one, be a conduit, not a container. We talk about this here at Adventure. It's kind of one of the things that we say. We talk about, you know, we're not just a container for God's blessing. God, bless me. It's so awesome, all the blessing. No, you're a conduit. That blessing is to bless other people. And this came to light in a really powerful way, because remember the water in the Sea of Galilee, how pristine, how beautiful that was? Well, it goes into the Jordan River, and then it goes to the Dead Sea, and it becomes dead because it has nowhere else to go. It just pools there. And even though it comes from a place of real, a wonderful place and a clean place and a pure place, because it has no place to go and it just stagnates. And the same thing is true spiritually. If you just allow the blessings just to build up and you're not blessing other people, you're going to be as dead as the Dead Sea. Be a conduit, not a container. Number two, there is a context to our narrative. We all have a narrative. We all have a story that we're living. And sometimes we don't see the greater context. When I was overlooking the valley where David beat Goliath, I was able to have a bird's eye view and a stronger idea of the context of what was going on in that story. God does the exact same thing with everything you're going through in life. Your narrative has a context. You may not understand it. You're in the thick of the battle. You're trying on the armor. You're looking for whatever it is. Rest and be confident that there's a context to it and God is in control. All right, next one. Community is key, and we fail miserable at truly understanding it. And I'll probably do a message on this at some point, because I've got tons of notes here that I would share about just Jewish culture and community and how the Gospels and the New Testament scriptures written in the first century, the filter we use for all these scriptures is us. And the filter that we need to use for these scriptures is then and them. And to really understand in a broader way on what that was like, the only thing I would say on this point is, you know, you remember the day when, you know, we had nice big front porches and rocking chairs and people walk by and we talk, we have kind of, what do we do now? We don't have front porches, we have back decks. We make these huge, and what do? We close people off. Man, we've got to get away from that, okay? Next one, God loves you and Jesus will restore you. Sea of Galilee, John 21. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. There's not a one of us that's blown it like Peter blew it. Okay? God loved him. Jesus restored him. God loves you. Jesus will restore you. This is a brand new day. This is a brand new moment. Walk out these doors a different person than the one that came in and do what God wants you to do. Okay? Last one. If you have Jesus, you have life. And if you don't, you're missing out. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't, you're missing out. Romans 11, we're grafted into, as Gentiles, we're grafted into the family of God. And I'm just so grateful for Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you have all that you need. And if you don't, I love you and you're welcome and we're glad. You're missing it. And we want you to experience what we've experienced with this new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Acts 1:8, I'll close with this. Acts 1:8. Go into all the world, right? Go, you'll be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. And as Americans, because we're, of course, the end all, right? We allegorize it. I'm not saying this is wrong. I'm just saying it's not the primary interpretation. You know, our Jerusalem, Yuba City, Judea, California, you know, Samaria, uttermost part of the world. You know what the ends of the earth are? Us. We're the ends of the earth. And we often like, you know, we need to go to the ends of the earth. No, let's praise God that the ends of the earth found me. The gospel found me. I'm so glad that the gospel went forward and God found me. And I just love Jesus and I want us all to love Jesus and just to bask in what it means to be his child. Because if you have Jesus, you have life. You have life. Rejoice in that today. All right, let me pray. Father, thank you for these moments we've had together today. Thank you for, and I pray that some of these things will fall on just fertile soil, and just thank you for the people, thank you for the land, but I thank you even more for you. God of the people, the God of the land. We just love you so much, and we thank you for coming into our lives, and thank you that the gospel made it to us. May we just leave with that rejoicing, I pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. All right, so let's stand together.